people. But the names of the Lord Jesus Christ, like Counselor, the Holy One, our Redeemer, I am, S, Shepherd, T, Teacher, M, Mediator, Advocate, and Savior. Those are the names that were chosen to use this year. And so the ladies have Shepherd. And when I first started thinking about that, I said, oh, that could be Shepherd. And then I got to thinking, wait a minute, it's about the Shepherd, not about the Shepherd. But I had to do something so that we could sing a Christmas carol that had something to Shepherd. So what I need is a lady that has a nice, strong voice and that isn't shy to stand up in front. Before we sing, there's just it takes about 1.5 minutes, a little thing to read, about the Lord being the Good Shepherd. And then when it came time to announce his birth, he chose to announce it by the angel of the Lord to the shepherds on the hillside. Just sort of transfers it into thinking that. So if you're of that mind, please let me know. Otherwise, I have to come around and tap somebody. Okay? Let's see. I think that's all. We have about $140 in the ladies' offering right now. And that gets used throughout the years. People are in the hospital or ill. I try to get them a plant or a box of candy or something. I'm hoping my voice is going to hold out today. Is this all right, Donia? Is that okay?
I'd rather not.
Okay. Are you hearing me all right in the back? Okay, good. Let's just open our time together in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we'd just like to pause a moment in your presence and thank you, Lord, for who you are. And thank you, Father, for your word that you've given to us to learn of you. And Father, help us as we look into it today and in our own daily devotion time, Father, that we would just allow it to just sink into our hearts and souls and minds, Lord, that we might serve you better day by day, that we might love you more, and that we might desire to be what you have us to be. We thank you for each lady here. We thank you for this beautiful day. And we thank you for your love in your son's precious name. You know, you've heard the word the changing world, or this world changes from time to time. And in some ways it does. It's true in many ways. We dress differently, and they used to have those wonderful old hoop skirts and other things. I often think that was such a wonderful thing, and then probably it wouldn't have been if I had to live in them. But we prepare our food differently. We certainly didn't have freezers and refrigerators and the stoves that we have. And I read somewhere that today we can fly, well, you can fly around. I've never flown, so can fly around the world in less time than it took Mary and Joseph to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem. So there's many changes. However, many things stay the same. Gravity is still the same. You throw something up, it's going to come down. Excuse me. The four seasons come and go, and if you're a typical New Yorker like I am, you love the four seasons and the changing. The tides are the same ever since God created the oceans and the moon. And the Ten Commandments are the same. They've never changed. Stealing is still stealing, and so forth. And I think one of the most wonderful things is that God has never changed. Hebrews 13:8 tells us Jesus Christ is from yesterday and today and forever. And then I found a verse in Malachi 3:6 that says, I am the Lord, I change not. He stays the same. Actually, the heart of man or mankind or women hasn't changed all that much either. We still worry about the same things. We fret over this and we fret over that. So the basic principles of human life are still the same. Also, I wanted to mention that his word never changes. Even if the Lord Jesus Christ lived and walked on the earth today in his flesh, he would not have to change one word of his word. His word is eternal. Let me know what Mark 13:31 says. We actually are going to get into a scripture portion in a minute or two. Nobody knows what that is. I'm sure somebody does if you think it. It starts with heaven and
earth.
Yes. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. His words are eternal. So we're going to read some of those eternal words. And it's a wonderful portion of the Sermon on the Mount called the Beatitude. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Anybody want to say anything up to this point? Please just feel free to interrupt if you have anything to say. Matthew chapter 5. Just previous to this, the Lord had called some of the apostles, and he sees the different multitudes, and I'm sure he looked on them with compassion. Everybody there? We'll start reading at verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, now let's just stop there and read those first two verses. I mean, talk about those first two verses. It says, and seeing the multitudes, and as I said, I'm sure he looked on them with compassion. He knew. In one place it says that they were like sheep without a shepherd, that wandering around, not having someone to look up to and to lead and to guide them. So before the disciples could go out and do that teaching, the Lord is going to teach them from the Sermon on the Mount what they will be able to teach and tell out. And isn't that what we're supposed to do, is to learn of him and spread the word of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he knew they would need some teaching. Now, it's interesting that it says, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. I like that phrase, when he was set. You know, the Lord Jesus never did anything rashly or not an easy way. He did it in the way that it was supposed to be. He didn't take the easy way out. He waited till he was set. And he opened his mouth and taught them. And sometimes we do things rather rashly. You know, we just do it. And I think it's always good, especially if you're talking to somebody, to just have a real silent word of prayer and ask the Lord to give you the words. We talked in the ladies' Bible study a couple of times about if we open our mouth, the Lord says he will fill it. And so we just don't go off and jumble our words, but speak what the Lord would have us to say. It's important, really is important, how people perceive what we're telling them. So he spoke calmly, and he began to teach. And I like this that says, his disciples came unto him. You know, I'm sure they sat at his feet, because they didn't have those nice lawn chairs that you just open up and sit around. So I'm sure they sat at his feet. You know, we need to do that too. Do you remember the story of Mary and Martha? Where it says Martha was cumbered about with much service. I never can read that or hear of it without thinking of my grandmother, because her name was Martha, and she was always busy in the kitchen serving everybody else. It just reminds me of her. But that's in Luke 10. You don't have to look it up, but you can if you want. But Martha says, you know, to the Lord, Lord, don't you care that I'm busy? I'm doing all this work. This is my words, Martha. You can find that, as I say, in Luke 10, 38 to 42. Thank you, Jesus. Where am I going to put it? I'm going to stand here and hold it, right? thank you. Where was that? I was with Mary and Martha in their kitchen or wherever they did. They have kitchens back then? I'm not even sure. Anyway, the Lord says to Martha not to fuss around and worry about it, because Mary has chosen the better part, to sit at his feet and learn. Then you think of Matthew 11:28, I think it's 30 or 31, something like that. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and thou shalt find rest for your soul. I think I might have left the page or something. And you will find rest for your soul. And you know, in this busy, buzzy world that we live in, don't you want to find rest for our souls? It's so wonderful to have a few minutes at the Lord's feet to find rest for our souls. If you don't do that every day, you're really, really lacking something. It's like trying to run the car without gas in it. We need that teaching from the Holy Spirit through the Word of God for us every day. So in these Beatitudes that we're going to read now, the Lord gives us eight qualities of character that a Christian should show forth or produce in their lives. So let's read them, and then we'll go over them one by one. Chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those are actually the actual Beatitudes, but I want to read 11 and 12 too. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Okay, these are the qualities of character. Everybody has all those, right? Everybody just, no, we don't. Certainly. It's tough to aim for one. But I got to thinking, you know, it says blessed, or my husband says it's blessed, not blessed, but I'm from the old school. I like blessed. But anyway, whatever you like. When you start reading, you think, blessed? Poor in spirit? Meek? Mourning, you know? How can you get blessing from that? She loves the Lord, as I said before, doesn't do anything in a wrong manner, and there is definite blessing following each of these qualities of character. They're sort of like they produce something good in our lives, and it's sort of like the eight notes in an octave that helps us make beautiful music or melody unto the Lord. I did find a verse. Somebody want to read Acts 3:26? I like this verse. You know, we're studying Acts in the ladies' Bible study, but I never noticed this verse particularly, probably because you key so much on the things around it, but I like this verse. Acts 3:26.
Therefore, did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall bring
people. That's not Acts 3:26, is it?
Oh, sorry, no,
John 2. It's okay.
Okay, 3:26. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turn away every one of you from his iniquity.
He sent his son to bless us. Now, we always talk about him sending his son to save us, which he did, definitely. But I never noticed that particularly. He sent his son to bless us. This is where these Beatitudes come in. We're promised a blessing for each one of those. So we're going to go over those a little bit. let's think for a minute about the word blessed or blessed. Somebody want to give me a definition of blessed or blessed?
Fortunate.
Pardon me? I can't hear you.
Fortunate.
Fortunate? You are in a way, yes.
Happy.
Happy. That's one of the basic meanings of blessed is happy.
Found favor
in or found favor with? Mm-hmm, that's good. I found a note in somewhere. I don't even remember. It was in my Bible somewhere. But it said, blessed is being spiritually prosperous. And I like that. Spiritually prosperous. Joyful and happy. it's an inner condition of the believer, you know. It's just the blessing comes out of us if we're blessed by the Lord. Another thing I want to say here, and I can't find it. Oh, there was a little interesting side note that I found while I was studying this. You know, in Malachi, it's the last book of the Old Testament. It ends with a curse. But then we get to the New Testament, and Matthew, right quickly, that fifth chapter, tells us about all these blessings that we can have if we follow the characteristics that the Lord wants to bring out in us. I think they show the characteristics of one who is truly born again and desires to live for the Lord. Okay, let's look at them one by one. Now, I hope you have some comments on these because you know them. We've all known them for years, and they're interesting, really. Okay, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How are you poor in spirit? It's certainly the opposite of being proud in spirit, isn't it? Poor in spirit? But what does that mean? It's not proud in the spirit because he is absolutely perfect and he wouldn't be proud, he wouldn't be, you know, whatever. Poor in spirit. So you have to speak up. I'm one of the elderly and I hear you. Sad? Yeah, I didn't get sad, really. That type of poor in spirit. I'm sure it comes under that.
Humble.
Yeah, that's very good. That's what I think it speaks of, humility. I think it speaks of realizing the spiritual poverty that we have, especially before we come to know the Lord. I mean, let's face it, if you don't know the Lord, then you're way to hell. That should make us. Who said sad, Marge? That would make us sad, right? Okay, but when we realize that we're spiritually in poverty because we aren't being poor in spirit, we aren't following the things that the Lord desires to teach us, and we haven't allowed the Lord to just work in our lives and bring out the things that he wants to. You know, we can be saved and just sit on the shelf and do nothing for the Lord. We'll still be saved, but certainly it's not going to bring what it says here, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the result. And of course, this is kingdom teaching. I should have mentioned that at the beginning. What is kingdom teaching, or when is the kingdom going to be?
Millennium.
Right, it's during the millennium, in a thousand-year reign, when Jesus Christ reigns as king on the earth. And so that's what these are talking about, and that's what he's talking about in the whole Sermon on the Mount, is kingdom teaching.
The thought that I had on the poor spirit, you know, this person has a lot of spirit. It's sort of like, you know, yourself. I don't know, but anyway, you know, if you have a lot of spirit, you do a lot of talking, or you do a lot of acting, you have a lot of feelings. But if we sort of say no to our own self-spirit to allow Christ's spirit to be in us, his spirit is one of humility.
Right.
And not pride in ourselves, but, you know, looking to him. And that's, I think that sort of helps a little idea to get that poor in spirit.
Right, that
it's
would
not
be
that we have no spirit, we have his rather than
right,
ours.
Right. That's right, and that's the one we're to be concerned about. I was thinking of Romans 12:10 too, along that line, be kindly affectionate one toward another, in honor preferring one another, thank you. And then also I was thinking of Philippians 2:3, where it says, let everyone esteem others better than themselves. That's certainly not being proud of the spirit, is it? It's not easy to do. And let's face it, we all, whether we want to admit it or not, we usually have a better idea. You know, we usually like our way of doing something the best. Oh boy, I've gotten into trouble that way a few times. But anyway, it does speak of humility, and it speaks of realizing that in ourselves we can do nothing. We need the Lord to lead us and to guide us and direct us in every phase of our life. And as I said, the result of that blessing is the kingdom of heaven. That would be there in the kingdom of heaven. The second one says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Anybody have any idea on that one? They that mourn. I mean, most people don't like to go around mourning or being mournful. Yes, that could be. Everybody hear her? Okay, Renee, a nice, loud voice.
Just being sensitive to things that would cause more.
Sensitive to things that would cause more. That's good. I kind of thought it was mourning or grieving against, agonizing over sin, maybe our own, or when we see someone else in sin that we love and we know or belong to the Lord and they're in sin, we should mourn over that. That's the type of thing we should mourn over and anguish over. It should bother us so much that it leads us to the throne of grace when we pray on behalf of that person. If it's our own problem, what does 1 John 1:9 say? Nobody knows what 1 John 1:9 says? If we confess our sins,
he is faithful and just to forgive us for sins and to
cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need that daily. You know that? We need that daily. There isn't a day that goes by that there isn't some sin that pops into our mind or heart. And we need that daily. And what's the result of this? They that mourn, they shall be comforted. Doesn't everybody like to be comforted? Pardon me?
I was thinking, my thought was too that when Christ looked at Jesus went to Jerusalem, he left over the city.
He left over the city. That's a righteous warning, isn't it? Very good. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou wouldst stone the prophet. Remember that? Tell us then that I sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, and you would not. Okay, when we do repent of sin, of some sin in our lives, that's where the comfort comes in. The Lord comforts us, brings us back into the proper fellowship with him. The third one is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, Psalm 37:11, I didn't realize any of the quotes that exactly, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I got to thinking about Moses in connection with this. Numbers 12:3. Somebody like to read that, please? Numbers 12:3. I like this about Moses, because I never think of Moses this way. Can't find numbers, huh?
Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth.
Moses. You know, you think of him leading the people, parting the sea with the rod, and all the things he did, standing in front of a burning bush. And you know, and yet he was strong in many ways. But the Lord says he was the meekest of all the men of the earth. Is that how it goes? The meekest above all the men of the earth? Yeah. I think of him that way, that kind of meekness. And that meekness, the source of that type of meekness is God or the Lord Jesus Christ. He bestows that type of situation around us when we trust him, when we look to him for guidance, when we submit to his will. And as I say, I keep saying this, it's talking about the earthly messianic kingdom. And it says, they shall inherit the earth. I'm not exactly sure what that means, inherit the earth. But it certainly means that we will be there in that kingdom if we trust in the Lord and then as we submit to his will day by day. Anybody have a comment on that? We all inherit by salvation, right? Through faith and worship of Christ, right? Yeah. Isn't this what the Lord says in he says that he's praising a woman of the meek and quiet spirit. I always love that verse, never ever having attained it, but I would love to, but not my nature, I guess. But anyway, that's what it is. It's a quiet humility type of thing. And you know, he sort of runs through all these. Did you notice that as a reason?
Right. I think the world went from meek, and then equate it with weak.
Weak, you're right.
But that's not true.
No.
Meekness is thinking of someone other before it gets down.
Yeah. That's
and
very good there.
Right.
Yeah. That's very good there. In fact, I thought of that, but I didn't write it down. So thank you very much. It is. It's not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. At that time, during that time. I don't think we maybe teach enough on the King Age. I don't understand an awful lot about it either. It's just that that's when the Lord is going to reign as king on the earth, and it's going to be a 1,000-year time frame. But, you know, it's hard to imagine what that will be like, so it would be nice to have some teaching on it sometime.
I think because there's not that much said about it, it's a
hard
way
to really
teach accurately.
Yeah. In fact, I think I read somewhere once that Morris talked about those that aren't going to be there, about hell and about the lake of fire and things, than there is about that. But it would be interesting to look into it, look it up sometime. Sorry that I had to keep part of my life. The next one is, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This one has a very special meaning for me because probably I heard this from my mother at least two or three times a month. Have you been reading your Bible? Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, she would say. It's important. A hunger and thirst after righteousness. Where do we find that? In the Word of God, desiring to be like them. I think I jotted down having a deep, passionate purpose of being righteous, of living as the Lord would have us. Have you ever prayed, Lord, you know, just help me to know what to do today or how to live or what you want me to do today? I want to be in your will. I want to live the way you want me to. And then day starts going by and that's not happening sometimes because we don't bow to the Lord's will for our lives. But I think that's the idea of that. Remember the Pharisee, how he prayed that he was so good and he beat his chest, he was so proud of the way he was. That's not the type of person we should be. It's not what I want to do or how I want to live or how I want to direct my day, but it's how the Lord would have us direct our day.
One thought I have on that is that it's not a natural instinct in man himself to desire God.
Right.
And as Christians, even though we may feel that we're really living a Christian life, we want to live a Christian life, there are times, some more than others, that we realize we don't have quite the desire to lay everything else aside and go read first. And until it makes you feel guilty, and you think, you know, how can I really want it more? And I think we just have to pray, Lord, give me that intense desire, because it's not going to be there naturally.
No.
We have to keep praying that He will deepen our desire. And when we pray that, it's amazing. All of a sudden, you just want to go and read, you know?
Yeah.
But it can go back and forth. Then you can get cold again, and you have to pray again, Lord, help me to just keep in Your Word and to keep having a desire to love it, to appreciate it, to enjoy it, because it's not natural. Satan wants to destroy it.
And our natural instinct is to do everything that we have to do.
We have free time to really think about it. We don't get there.
No, and a lot of times if you do, it's late at night, and you read it, and they say, what did I just read? You know, so it's best to do it when you're fresh, you know, and in the early part of the day, if you can. I know, you know, I can remember getting kids off to school and everything like that. It's not easy. But there comes a time when you just have to sort of grab the bull by the horn, is the expression, and do it. Just do it. Somebody once said, every time they're going to do that, the phone rings, right? That's Satan.
You just turn it off.
You turn it off, right, or you just don't answer. Or like my son Brian says, I'll call you right back, Mom. And you never got it. So he wants something. Well, he's normal. Well, the result of this beatitude is that we will be filled with God's goodness as we desire to live for Him and have that hunger and thirst after righteousness. The next one is, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I think a lot of that has to do with you see something and you have, or someone that sees them, is to act on it, not just say, oh, that's too bad. You know, but see if you can help. Be merciful. But I think that's an outward expression of mercy. But I think there's an inward expression, too. I think we keep clear of grudges and bitterness and hate and anger and jealousy. All of that stuff can come into our lives so easily. And I think we're to just keep looking to the Lord and ask Him to take that away from us. Mercy overlooks little things. You know, a lot of times people say things, they don't really mean it that way, but we take it that way and we get our toes stepped on. Mercy forgives little, or forgets about little things and forgives the bigger things. If you can't forgive, I question whether you really desire to know the Lord's will in a situation. How can we not forgive if He's forgiven us? We have to. There's just no two ways about it. You can't hold grudges against people or be angry with them or say, you know what, it's not worth it. It's not worth it at all. Just pull your spirit down and there's not blessing there then. The result of that, of course, is that we obtain mercy from the Lord. Okay, the next one is pure in heart. Ooh, time just pops by, doesn't it? The pure in heart, I had setting an upward goal, delighting ourselves in Him. It sort of goes with the one that we just talked about. But Psalm 37:4 tells us to delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of your heart. But I think the result of this one is wonderful. It says, for they shall see God. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking of that hymn that says, just think of standing on the shore and finding a heaven, of touching a hand and finding a God, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up in glory and finally home, or finding it home. I'm not sure which, which way that goes, but just think about that. You'll desire to be pure in heart toward the things of the Lord and toward one another. They shall see God. Number 7 is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And I got to thinking about this, the peacemakers. Well, as a mother, you always are a peacemaker, that's for sure. One thing. But I was thinking of God is peace. He is peace, and His Son is the Prince of Peace. And I just lost my notes here. excuse me. So peacemakers in the kingdom of God will be recognized as partaking of that, of God's nature. Wouldn't that be wonderful to be filled with God's nature? So much time we think of our own nature and how everything affects us. But if we have God's nature within us, we're just going to blossom forth and we're going to have His peace. My favorite verse, Uncle Dave, we blame everything on Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave, many years ago, I can remember saying, when you know the Lord as your Savior, you should have a verse that tells you that you know the Lord as your Savior. Might have to be John 5:24, but that's not what I'm going to talk about. But he said you also should have a verse that you claim for your life. That's your verse that the Lord has given you. And the Lord has given you Isaiah 26:3. Thou, that's God, will keep him, that's me, in perfect peace if I keep my mind on Him. It says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Keep my mind in Him. You know, the song that we sing, stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised, perfect peace and rest. I love that. Many times you think of something, and if you try and flip your mind quickly on the thing, Lord, that just goes away. And you don't have that horrible feeling. In Philippians 4, yeah. 6 through 8. I've said this at the Lady's Bible Study. Forgive me if you come to it. There's a wonderful spiritual sandwich. There's the God of peace. It's mentioned in verse 6. And then I think in verse 7 has all the things that we're to think on, the good things, things of virtue, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, if there be any whatever. I can't remember all of them right now. And then it says, the God of peace. The peace of God, the nice filling of the sandwich, and then the God of peace will bless us, be with us. We don't really have time to go into that. But anyway, that's a wonderful spiritual sandwich. I get marked in my Bible. It's my favorite sandwich. And then the last one is, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And you have to read 11 because it's sort of connected with it. It's not another beatitude, but it's connected with it. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And then it goes on to say they persecute the prophets before you. But anyway, sometimes we have to suffer for little things, and that's not bad. You know, by suffering, we get stronger. And I think as we are before the Lord, and the minute we're hurt, we say, you know, Lord, just help me to do this, to get through this, whatever it is, a hurt or a pain that someone may do to us, I think the result is that we're blessed. So we have to take that as the word of God and overlook a lot of things like that, and we're to rejoice. Mm-hmm. Now these beatitudes, of course, are steps to happiness or blessedness. And I like the fact that it's how our attitude should be. Diana talked about that a while back. But a lot of times in the Bible study we brought that up too, attitude. And you know, ladies, attitude is one of the most important things in your life. You can wake up in the morning with the wrong attitude and the day is basically shot, to tell you the truth. But if you wake up with an attitude of desiring to live for the Lord, to be before Him, to direct your family in that way, and everything else, He's right, there's blessing. He's blessed in every one of those ways. That's how our attitude should be. Remember that the attitude is how our attitude, how our character in the Christian life should be. Actually, we should look to God too. Our standard of living each day. We need His help. We think we're so self-sufficient sometimes. We aren't. We need the Lord in every single phase of our life. Now, just in closing, and I'm a minute over, I just wanted to say, did you know that there were 7 blessings or beatitudes in Revelation? There are. I have them here if anybody wants them. We don't have time to go into them, but there's blessed are, 7 of them. Interesting. I never noticed that before. Okay. Any comments before we close in prayer? I hope you think about these throughout the day and maybe even throughout the week. Think about the blessing that's promised if these type of characters shine out in our lives. I know we just sort of skimmed over them, but think about them as you go throughout the week. The Lord will bless as we think about it, and as we desire to live for Him, and as we desire to be in a right relationship with Him and with others around us. Let's just close with that.